I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope.
Like, you're going to die someday, right?
Would I like to be in the hospital right now rather than be here? Yes. Have I ever thought about that? Yes, right now. I'm thinking about hospitalization.
And the Bulldog.
I've thought about it a few times. There's been a few times, like right now, where I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack and die. I'm here.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Like, I'm over here and I'm doing what I just did, but it goes badly. And, like, I bang the table, and then, like, I just look at you, and, like, I can't breathe, and you're on the air.
Yeah, I know. I've thought about it. Like, I know exactly what I would do.
Four start talking about
simple words. Eye on fantasy.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Can you imagine that, though?
Yes.
You drop dead.
Yep.
And I sort of, in a panic, go, let's take a look at
Joe.
We have Sigmund Bloom on the West Shore Hotline.
What do you think about bye week for the Saints?
You're just laying there.
I absolutely can imagine it. Yeah.
Taking your final breaths.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would hope that Joe could. Yeah. You, who are you calling? Like, Joe could call somebody, and you gotta go on with the show.
We have a problem here, but I do want to talk about bye week defenses.
Right.
you know how I am. Like, I am more about the show than anything.
Yes.
Ask Terry Pegula.
Yes, that's right.
I'm the guy who hung up on him.
That's right.
Because we had to get to a taped gambling show that meant nothing to anyone
right.
on time.
Right. You don't want to keep the Saskatchewan silencer waiting.
That's one thing
I learned early on in this business is don't let that guy wait. I mean, I'm assuming it's a guy. I mean, I don't know.
It usually is.
Yeah, yeah. You are so devoted to the show that even though it's your birthday, you're here, which isn't that rare, I guess. But you are.
No, we all work on it.
We work on it. Yeah. Well, my birthday is July 1st, so yeah. Usually, I'm.
No, usually on vacation.
I've worked the first a lot, and then been on vacation after that. Lately, maybe I've missed a time or two. You are, 48 now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Go ahead.
1 year closer to getting the AARP cards in the mail.
I like 48.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just started, but I do like it. It's a nice round number. I can divide it by 4, by 6, by 8, by 12,
yeah.
By 16, by 24. I mean, this number is good. This is a good number.
Look at this guy.
I liked 42. Because of Jackie Robinson, I thought 42 was a great number, and I like 48. Really, nothing in 45 maybe. Nothing in between really means anything to me.
Yeah.
48, I like. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. 45 was a little tough because 45 was maybe the very last time I could legitimately think, am I halfway? Am I halfway?
Oh, like, you're at least halfway.
Right, of course, right. I mean, that's that's the very last time that I thought that, anyway.
Thought you might have only been halfway.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Okay.
I thought it possible. Beyond that, I'm like, whatever. I stopped, I'm 54 now. Do you know, I might guess that you are someone who would know this. Like, how many famous people do you know? How many famous people share this birthday? Other than our mutual friend Brad Ryder,
you don't consider him famous.
How many notable?
Here's the list I know. Let me see how many I can name. Not that many. Brad, Bob Matthews in Rochester, Coy Wire, Jonathan Linton in the former Bills category, Sonny Gray, the Reds pitcher.
Okay.
Will Rogers?
Woo.
What do you mean, woo? Like, what do you mean, Will?
Will Rogers?
You're excited about that?
Will Rogers is all time. My parents know
who
Will
Rogers. What was Will Rogers? What did he even do? Was he a humorist? What does that even entail exactly? Yeah, what did Will Rogers do?
I don't really know.
Will Rogers,
yeah.
Whoever he was, Joni Mitchell.
Yes.
You knew that one.
Yes, I have a list. I'm waiting to see how many you name, and then I'm going to fill in some for you.
You want to give me any hints?
But Joni Mitchell was on my list here. Let's see. Think founder of the Red Army.
Stalin, no. Lenin,
Trotsky.
Trotsky.
Says Leon Trotsky, founder and first leader of the Red Army.
Stalin, I would be impressed with. I would remember Lenin.
Yeah.
Trotsky, I don't care.
Sorry.
Don't even know him.
The singer and songwriter, Lord.
Meaningless.
Okay. Albert Camus.
Lord should know it's my birthday.
Albert Camus, French philosopher.
Albert Camus?
Yeah.
These people should know it's my
birthday.
That's
pretty good. That's pretty good.
Camus?
Google that.
Joe.
Yeah, well, look, I'm telling you, he's famous.
Camus?
He's a philosopher. Billy Graham?
Sounds like the Bills just promoted him off the practice squad.
Wow.
Billy Graham, I knew.
Billy Graham. Great. You know Billy Graham, but you don't know Albert Camus.
Well, who knows Albert Camus?
I do.
Billy Graham, I did know it was November 7th. He's dead, right?
I'm not prepared to comment on
no follow-ups?
The living or dead nature
he's dead.
Of any of these.
Billy Graham is dead.
Manchester United goalkeeper David De Gea.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I know who that is.
Dana Plato.
Dana Plato from Different Strokes. Yes, I did know that once.
Yeah.
She's dead.
She's dead. Yeah.
What was her name on the show? The sister. Arnold Willis.
Willis.
What was her name?
Nancy?
No.
No. Yeah, that was a guess. I don't. Could you tell it was a guess? I guess I don't know.
Dana Plato.
All right, I'm just about out of gas.
Drugs?
Here. Yeah, it was not. Yeah, it was tough.
So who wins?
Not Albert Camus.
Albert Camus.
Okay.
What did he even give me one thing he did?
There's a famous book that I've read, The Stranger. That's
The Stranger.
Camus. Yeah. It's a famous world-renowned piece of literature. Yeah.
Is it?
I'm not trying to be jerky. Like,
is it?
For real. Yeah.
And you've read it.
Yeah.
I created Hashioki. I was one of three people
right.
who created Hashioki.
Right. Well, I mean, that should go right up there.
Albert Camus.
Joe. At least I think
what
I
a drop.
I think I have that right.
If
I don't, I'm going to hear about it. Because this audience knows about Camus, let me tell you.
Coy Wire, Jonathan, let's go. Speaking of the audience, Coy Wire, Jonathan Linton.
Yeah.
There are others. I was excited to find out about Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
He helped me win me some fantasy baseball money this year.
This list I'm working off of, it's deteriorated to the point where I've got three Instagram stars in a row. That's where. So I'm going to close this out now, and I'm thinking we stopped at David De Gea, and that's probably good.
We should have stopped at Camus.
Probably.
Yesterday was Sam Reinhart's birthday.
Okay.
I remember when they drafted Sam Reinhart that his birthday was one day away from mine.
All right.
Bob Matthews is in Rochester. He was a columnist for many years and in radio for many years. And I worked with him when I was starting at the newspaper there. I remember that on the day I turned 25, he turned 50.
Okay.
So it's always easy for me to remember Bob's age.
Right.
Not that he would want me to remind anybody of that, probably. I'm already in trouble. But like that's right. easy for me, 25, 50.
Right. Yeah, that works.
I was speaking of, no segue needed, but like aging and everything. We're at the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame dinner tonight. It hasn't started, but we're just here for the day, and the dinner is tonight.
Right, you're not late if you're not here already.
And they have all kinds of memorabilia out. And I was just sort of, you know, doing the thing. Like at our golf tournament, it's the same thing with the tables. And here, you know, you see a lot of the same stuff and the same people represented. There's a Jim Kelly jersey. There's a Gilbert Perreault plaque. There's a Marv Levy picture. And you go along and it's like, yep,
mm-hmm.
yep, yep, yep. And then I was just sort of in that mode. And I stepped one step forward and I saw an autographed picture of Ryan Miller. I'm like, okay, that's how old I am. Like, Ryan Miller was kind of a long time ago.
Right.
And Kelly, the first one of these I ever came to would have been Kelly and Perreault and Marv. And, like, now I'm at Ryan. I mean, there's a Darlene jersey.
At least Miller's still playing, but yeah.
Yeah,
but he
but
was
it's
here
been a long
long
time since he was here. Like,
yes.
Ryan Miller is a memorabilia piece for the Greater Buff. Is he in?
I don't think so.
It wasn't good enough?
I don't think they've done that
yet. Wasn't good enough?
No, they'll get around to it. While he's active, I'm pretty sure they will get around to it. Yes, I'm confident. Yeah. Yeah. I think while – I don't know that anyone who's been I shouldn't say that. Maybe some people who coach at high school or collegiately were inducted while they were still active. But player-wise, I don't think anyone's gone in while they were still playing the game that they would be getting inducted for.
You got to get them in. You got to wait until they retire.
Right, right.
I don't know. Maybe it's time to mix things up. Get that Sobotka in. Ooh. Get him in now. Maybe it'll change course for him and for us and everything. Well, so that's tonight. And we come here every year. It's a big deal. And we've got memorabilia, and we'll have guests later and talk about the ceremony. Today is trade deadline day in one of my leagues. And, Bulldog, you have never heard of a trade like this, I think. Mm-hmm. I think this will even impress you. Cool. Or, like, you'll think you'll care about this, I think.
That is a bold prediction.
So one friend of mine and I decided – you know, this will be a great idea. Let me just say right in the front, I still think it is a great idea.
Okay.
But it's been challenging this year for certain reasons. To have a 28-team fantasy football league. 28 teams. What's the hardest part?
Having enough good players to go around.
NFL players.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, every NFL player is in the league twice. So two teams at any given time have all the top players.
Okay.
All right? You're not allowed to have two guys, the same guy twice. But somebody has Christian McCaffrey and someone else has Christian McCaffrey. Some guys are only in once because they're not that good. But you can't – it's what they call a double player pool. Everybody is eligible to be on two rosters.
Okay. So when
is alleviated. That problem is alleviated.
Okay.
The hardest part, at least in terms of this league, is
communication.
28 guys who care.
Right.
And look, this is not a criticism. No one is saying you're like a bad person or something if you don't care about fantasy football. Maybe you shouldn't play if you don't really care about it.
Right.
Because it does affect everybody else, but that doesn't like define you in any way. It's not important. It's just whatever you're into.
Right. I mean, you know, you never know. There could be extenuating circumstances. You know, life can come at you fast. You might have thought, I'm going to have time for this. I really want to do this. And then something with your job, family, like some real life thing could get in the way. Like, I don't have time to pay attention to the waiver wire in my fantasy football league because
you learn.
Whatever.
If you sign up for fantasy football, you learn that, you know, depending on who you're doing it with, it can take effort. It can take some time, and it can take some work. So if you're in a league where no one takes it seriously, you might not have that problem or that issue, and maybe you never know that. If you're in a league where, you know, your cousin got you in, and unbeknownst to you, your cousin's 10 friends that you're in the league with are all super serious, and you're just like, I can't believe I signed up for this. I can never get who I want. It's too hard. I'm in last place.
Right.
So, this thing, I mean, it was not half-baked, but it was challenging to get it off the ground. 28 people, and it was also an expensive buy-in. So, you wanted to think that everybody
would stick with it.
Like, care about it.
Right.
But you also don't know what money means to everybody. And the bigger you make the league, the more variance there's going to be. So somebody's going to be like, I don't need $200. I make $1 million or something. Like, the money's different. It was even more than that to play. Like, the money's different to everybody. But anyway, I'm just sort of stalling here. Last night was the trade deadline. And I had a tough time in this league, for what it's worth, finding a good trade this year. I have all these teams, but I did not have a good year for trades. Like, I did not have that eureka trade where somebody looked me up with this idea. I'm like, yes! Or that, because I don't want to ever scam anybody. So I don't make certain offers that might have gotten a yes once or twice. Like, it's just sort of, it did not happen for me this year, really. I'm doing fine, but it did not happen. Last night was the deadline. I was in bed early last night. I woke up today, and I saw a trade I've never even conceived of. Todd Gurley for Brandon Allen. Joe?
What?
Oh, hi, Joe.
What?
Joe. I intentionally did not tell Joe about
Joe,
this.
Joe,
until now.
Joe audibly gasped.
Joe might have just died.
That was what that was. That
Joe.
What?
So here's everything. It's a super flex league, which means you can play two quarterbacks and would if you had two active quarterbacks almost every time.
Yeah.
And bye weeks are still happening, you know. But Todd Gurley, and Todd Gurley is not last year's Todd Gurley. Still. Todd Gurley for Brandon Allen was a trade, and I took a picture of it. I took a picture of it.
You weren't involved in this trade.
No.
It happened
of course not.
It happened in your league.
Look, if I was in a league and you told me, like, on the side, like right now,
I'm going to trade Todd Gurley for Brandon Allen.
I would totally get involved. Like, I would just have to get involved because, like, there's just, come on. So, no, I was just like, I woke up and my wife is out the door and it's time to get on the bus. And I just looked at my phone and I took a picture of it because I just have never even dreamed of such a trade, right? So, I don't know. I don't know the people. I don't know if there's something I'm missing here. But I do know that it's Todd Gurley. For Brandon Allen.
Todd Gurley.
Who is on bye, by the way, and we're almost to the playoffs.
Right. Todd Gurley does have, like, arthritic knees, right? I mean, there is.
Go ahead.
Right? I mean.
Talk me off the ledge. Talk me off the ledge. Tell me about his arthritis.
Can I ask you, this is a single-year league. This is not a keeper thing? Okay.
Tell me about yesterday's show and other recent shows where I say or one of us says.
Running backs don't matter.
It's possible. Well, there's that too, I guess, but. How it's possible that Brandon Allen is good because NFL teams are so bad, historically, provably bad, at predicting how good quarterbacks will be. So who's to say if this guy won't come off the bye next week and start to pour touchdown passes into the air? Who's to say that? I am not here to guarantee that that won't happen.
I am.
Okay,
there's no
one of us should be right.
There's no way that
right
now. There's no way that that's happening. No, he may not even. I don't know. I'm not following the Broncos, but they drafted a guy. The guy eventually should play.
He could be off the team in 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, honest to God, I mean he's as unstable a starting quarterback as maybe there is in the NFL today.
It's almost like trading for Peterman.
Yeah.
It's almost Todd Gurley for Peterman.
Yeah. I just don't. Without the five picks.
It's not.
But
it's a little bit more like that.
Yeah, it's just
than
not,
you'd want it to be.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It just no. I mean, I'm trying over here with the arthritis, but
you are trying with the arthritis.
No. That's insane.
So
that's insane.
All right. So as wild as that sounds, you do want to have.
It is wild.
You do want to have like sort of rules. In your league, and if it happens, and like everybody who's listening that has played fantasy football probably has some story like this. If it happens that the two people involved in your league can both defend their positions, what do? You can't do anything unless you have vetoes, and vetoes are terrible. Like there should be no vetoes. Well, do I really mean that? I mean, are there not instances
when if you got
both sides could be well meaning and the trade is just so ridiculous
like this one?
I mean, what do you actually do? Then what do you do? We got birds in here, by the way. What do you actually hi bird? I called him over. Apparently I just called him over.
Well, yeah.
What do you actually do?
I've never thought that any
league staring at the bird
should have a veto system, but this trade is making me think about it. It's just so epically bad. That I
how
think
you,
maybe you would want to veto it, but
how do you say yes if you're trading Brandon Allen for Gurley? How do you actually? Who is the person that says yes? Who is it worse on? Who does it look worse on? The person that trades Brandon Allen for Gurley, or the other, or like who does it look worse on?
No, the person trading for Gurley is no. Trading for Allen, like what are they going to say? No, I watched that game against Cleveland. I think he's really good.
shut up! It's Todd Gurley. Like, you are you high? No, that doesn't work.
Do we know who offered this trade? Because that kind of matters to me too in this circumstance.
I might, but let's just not talk about that.
Okay, because how does the idea even get broached?
Let's say I don't. Let's say I don't.
I just don't even know how the idea gets broached. Who, like, I feel like you're either being insulting by offering
person,
that to someone, or the other person just don't even take him seriously.
The person who offers Brandon Allen for Gurley is way worse than the person
who offers
Gurley for Brandon Allen.
But that guy sucks too.
The person who offers Gurley for Brandon Allen, I don't know what they're doing. But the first person, if you do the opposite, like, whoa. Like, what is your game? What are you here for?
Like, why would you think anyone would accept that trade? If you have Brandon Allen on your team.
You can't just offer every conceivable trade because if they say yes, well, you know,
right.
That's up to you. And I win. So I get the benefits.
I'm sorry to, like, be backtracking here, but so this actually happened?
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I would want to know what the motivation is, and I would suspect that there is some sort of collusion happening here.
Hmm.
That's what I would immediately suspect, that the person who's giving up Todd Gurley for Brandon Allen is helping the guy who had Brandon Allen for some reason. He either owes him one from a past year, or he is just I don't know. That guy's having a really good year, and he's going to get a cut of the money if he wins. You said it's a real expensive league. Like, I would just expect that there's something suspicious about it. I don't know what you do about that. If you don't have a veto, mm-hmm. if you don't have the kind of league where
good question.
You're going to send out an email that says, hey, are we all okay with this? And everyone's going to weigh in, like you mentioned Paul does that with our league.
I said to him last night, I think he would.
Right, right. Yeah, and he concurred. He said he would feel like he would put it
but
to the
Paul
group.
Has, like, this is not my group. I don't know who anybody is. Like, Paul knows, and I happen to know everybody in that group.
Right.
And so if anything like that happened, it would be really strange.
Yeah.
Because you would not, I would not, I think Paul would not expect anybody in that group
yes.
to do anything like that.
I agree.
So,
right.
But I don't know if that's what happened here. It may not
right,
be.
Right, right.
Somebody may just think Brandon Allen is the next Tom Brady.
Or Gardner Minshew.
Or even Gardner Minshew.
Like, whatever. Like,
I guess.
That's where we're circling back to your, like, you know, these guys that are not drafted highly could still be good. So
the right way to go here, in my opinion, is what you did last year or the year before, which is you had a losing team. I have a losing team in that league this year.
Uh-huh.
And if anybody offered me a trade, it would just be an automatic no. Because I am out of it.
I'm not, yeah, right.
And there is no way I am doing anybody any good by making any trade. It doesn't matter to me if I benefit.
Right.
Because I'm out of it, and it's not fair to everybody else.
Right.
That's it. That's all that has to happen. But the person has to think of that.
Right.
And care about it. And that's not always the case.
Yeah.
Right, Bulldog?
Yeah, and they have to be definitively out of it like you are in Paul's
life. I'm 1-8.
Right.
That's Nate is sitting with us. I don't know if Nate knows this, but that is terrible.
Yeah, that's not
1-8.
Yeah,
is terrible, terrible.
That's 7 below 500.
It's so bad. I will never see 500 in that league.
No.
The season's going to end first. So I don't know what you do. I was in another league where there was a trade, and I immediately said, "What is this?" And then there was a vote, and then they overturned it.
Yeah,
and I don't know, like, what is. And I'll give you one more thing, and we got to get to a break, but one more thing that makes it even more complicated. That's my gift to the world. I make things that are complicated already more complicated, that don't need it. But that's what I do.
Happy birthday again.
You know, I know your role in the world. But people say no collusion, right? Definitely. We all agree. No collusion.
No collusion, right.
You can't – what is collusion? Define collusion. Doing something – that intentionally helps another team.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's not really the exact definition, but it's something like that. Well, okay, so then what are trades? Joe and I have had this conversation. This is one conversation that he and I have about fantasy where he walks away.
Well, trades are supposed to help both parties. I'm weak at running back. You're weak at receiver. Let's swap. That's it.
Is that two teams? Of course it is. Two teams making a move to help each other.
Right.
But that's also kind of what collusion is. Two teams doing a thing to help each other.
No, the collusion is if one party isn't gaining anything by doing it. Like there's no pretense of motivation to help one side. I'm only doing this for the betterment of you, and there might be something waiting for me at the end because I've done that. Like that's collusion.
Kickbacks.
That's conspiracy. That's, you know, that's what that is.
That's like the government.
A trade where I've got too many running backs and you've got too many receivers and I'm weak, you know, whatever. I'm going to try something here. Let's try something that will help. Yes, we are in cahoots trying to help one another. You're like, I went to cahoots.
I love cahoots.
But that's, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's on the level.
Okay. Of course.
Allen. Wow.
Any Allen for Gurley is rough. Least of all ours. Our Allen is the least rough.
Yes. That would be the third of the Allens that I think would make it the Yeah. Like Kyle Allen or Josh Allen would have been more fair trades.
Yeah.
Two other Allens in the league.
Anyway. So, you know, fantasy fun. Sal today, John Clayton, Evan Abrams were at the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame induction dinner ceremony at the Buffalo Convention Center. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR.
When you look at the roster, if you're a defensive coordinator, I could understand why you'd be very nervous trying to figure out what you want to take away. But it's been fascinating to watch, as I was really curious to see how Bill Belichick was going to defend the Browns, because we know what Bill likes to do is find whatever it is that you do best, and he's going to take that away. And I think he decided that Odell Beckham is the one player on that roster that can beat you deep offensively, and Bill took him out of the game. I think he had three catches, and you know the first couple were maybe for 5 yards or just a quick hit just to try to get him involved.
That is Jay Crawford from the Cleveland media talking about Odell Beckham and a little bit of the Patriots game where the Patriots beat the Browns. You're hearing this more and more. People in the media refer to Belichick as Bill. What do you think of that move? Like, would you ever catch yourself doing that? Bill? Sometimes, some people know him, so maybe this guy knows him. If they don't know him, is it weird or what?
Yeah, no,
Bill?
Someone I don't know at all. I'm trying to think.
We would have said Marv, though.
Sure. But, yeah, I guess it sounds a little weird. You shouldn't assume. This guy might even, I don't know how old a guy this Crawford is. He might even have had a relationship with Belichick from when Belichick was in Cleveland. I just say, like,
but you want him to have, you want there to be one, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to call him Bill?
Yes. I think without that, like, you are forging a familiarity that does not exist.
Like if we talked about McDermott and said Sean, would it sound like we knew him better than we do?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yes. I think in talking to him, that's one thing. Like when we had him on our show, I don't know if we I can't remember how we referred to him, but
when he was on, I would have called him Sean.
Right,
in the course, I would never have called him Coach.
Of course, in the course of conversation, I'm sure you call someone by their name. That's normal. Talking about them in any other format, I think is if you do that, I think you're trying to seem like you know the guy when you don't.
I've probably done it, but it's a slip. If I've done it, it's a slip. Bills and Browns, maybe this guy knows him. I'm not saying he doesn't, but it just sort of stands out to me that more and more people seem to be referring to Belichick as Bill. Bills and Browns on Sunday. There is sort of a buzz that Beckham is going to get throws. Like, they have all figured out that 6 targets last week, 7 the week before, is not going to cut it. So here comes Beckham into this game with that kind of a spotlight. What will happen? And then you have Trey White on the Bills side. This is probably the most interesting single matchup within this game. You have White, who's excellent, and really last week was his first week shadowing a receiver with Terry McLaurin. Most weeks he stays to the left side. Last week, I even got caught assuming that he had done that on the postgame show, and Sal texted, which I was really glad about. Sal texted and said, that didn't happen today. And so in that game, he went with Terry McLaurin. And, you know, this could be, and I'm not going to say Sean or McDermott or anybody for this, like, but it could be. Like, I think good coaches do this. Whether it's Beckham or anyone else down the road in mind, like, McLaurin was good, and you would have some reason to want to pay him a little extra attention last week, but it's also Washington.
Yep.
And I don't think the Bills would have expected to lose to them.
No, if they didn't do that. Right.
So it's you plant a seed, maybe.
Yeah.
By having him do that.
Yeah. And you get your defense familiar with him having to run around as opposed to just playing one side. You're right? I mean, it's sort of a dry run. We're playing Cleveland next week. This guy's pretty good. Let's just sort of take that out for a spin. So everybody else in the secondary kind of gets used to it. It gets acclimated to him, you know. Because that's a different – it's different. And I could see a coach like – sorry, I was trying to think of like a nickname
first name.
For McDermott that I don't have it. Mac D, I think – sorry.
Nice.
McDermott's attention to detail, I would guess that a part of why they did that last week with McLaurin – was to familiarize Micah Hyde and everybody else, and Trey White primarily, the whole defense with this is how it's going to be when we play Beckham. Just a guess, but I like the chances of that being part of the reason.
Could be Beckham or anyone. Amari Cooper,
right.
Bills will get him before too long.
Although he's got a knee injury.
But he's fine.
He's getting, yeah, okay.
He's fine.
All right, I was just a little hopeful that maybe something was wrong there.
No, I think he's good. He's had little things, but I think he's good. But, you know, who am I? David Chow all of a sudden? we'll see. It's still a month off, almost. 3 weeks off. Bills and Browns on Sunday. Super cool game to find out what there is next to find out about the Bills and lots of attention on Cleveland. I mean, we are totally accustomed to the Bills really not getting much attention in sort of a national sense. This week, and this – it was totally foreseeable. This week, this game is different. People are talking about how Buffalo is an underdog against a Cleveland team that's 2-6, and there's all this drama. And it's a very interesting game, I think, on the schedule overall.
Yep.
Is Bills Browns.
Yeah, there's a I don't ever. I mean, it's not like I'm averse to it. It usually does not pique my curiosity when I see whatever football people sites that I follow on Twitter. Pro Football Talk is one. I'm assuming every week they post, here are the week 9 picks. I've not clicked on it one time this year. Today I did when I saw them because I thought, I'm curious I have no idea how it's formatted, if they just have the picks, if they're using the spread, and if there's any sort of, you know, synopsis to there, any text to any thought given to why we're picking what we're picking. So I clicked on it, and it's Florio, and I think Michael David Smith is a contributing writer there. Those two guys picking the games, and they both pick the Browns, and it's sort of a, if not now, when, basically. Like, so that's, how, that you know, I think that vibe for the Browns, they have 6 losses. Their schedule really, really eases up. I mean, they've got Pittsburgh twice, and Pittsburgh is two games better than them already, so I shouldn't just assume that that's easy, you know, because Roethlisberger isn't there, but they don't have Roethlisberger. It's at least tempered somewhat. But they've got the Bengals twice, and they've got the Cardinals and the Steelers twice, and whatever else. It's yep. cake what they've got left. So they're sitting on six losses. The approach might be like, if we get this one, we can roll.
But you know, this happens to me all the time. This happens with callers all the time. So somebody wrote, "If not now, when?" It totally wants me to be on the other side. It totally makes me want to be on the other side. Because it's such a bad point. Why do they need to ever get good? Because before the season, you thought they would be good?
Right.
So, like, what evidence is there that they're actually good, that they're going to get good? There really isn't any.
It's that there's good players, and eventually they will figure out how to get, you know, how to score enough points to win games. And it's also that this opponent, in this case it's Buffalo, doesn't score a lot. So the bar isn't that high. You know, get a couple of touchdowns, kick a few field goals, and maybe you could beat the Bills. I mean, that doesn't sound really great for Bills fans to hear, but I mean, seriously, think about it. I mean, that's all it really takes. You get three field goals and two touchdowns, like you're in good shape against the Bills.
Five scores.
Yeah.
That's not a little bit, though. That's pretty
good. Well, five. I mean, field goals can be, you know, you get to the 30-yard line and kick a field goal. I mean, you know, you don't have to get to the red zone.
I have seen it.
So, anyway, so it's just to say, like, the Browns, yeah, I think a lot of it is sort of our last stand on this piece of turf where I thought the Browns were going to be good. If they're going to have any kind of a year still, here's a chance for them. They haven't won at home yet this year.
And the Bills have not lost on the road.
Right. So what? So that, I mean, I think that's going to be out there. This game is still all about the opponent. And that's been, you know, that's largely been the Bills' season so far. Either the opponent isn't good enough or the opponent is struggling or whatever it is. Like, the Bills are not, you know, they're not the headline anywhere yet. And I don't think that changes if they beat the Browns. the story on Sunday night and Monday will be a funeral for the Browns season. They've got seven losses now. Good luck.
I guess to me it depends on how they look, like what happens in this game. Like, that's part of the problem with the other point, is it sort of implies like a team could win or lose based on a field goal. And if they win, it's, oh, they were so ready, and they must have culture, and they must just, like, they must get along, and they must have been focused, and then if the kick is no good, oh, well, they must just not get along, or they must not have been focused, or they must not have been prepared. Like, all that different stuff. And it's really just some guy made a kick or he didn't. Like, the idea that if this is a close game, it's hilarious to watch these people on TV predict these games and say, I think it's going to be 24-21 so-and-so. What's the difference? What's important that you can identify about one team and not the other that tells you it's going to be 24-21? I mean, what? What are you telling me? You think you're going to know the flow of the game? No. So, we'll see. Like, if the Browns are terrible and there's a bunch of turnovers and the Bills crush them, then that'll be both things. That'll be Buffalo is Buffalo for this season, and that'll be Cleveland is still terrible. But I don't know. Like, these sweeping kind of statements are really rough and usually wrong to make. I am just excited to see, because it's a little bit more interesting than it's been for the Bills. Apart from the Eagle game, I will say that Tennessee was interesting to me. Like, Tennessee, I think, does not really deserve to be lumped in with Washington and Miami and the Giants. Like, it was a better win than that. They did miss kicks, and they could have won had they not done that. And then again, like, here we go. The only thing is to get the win and then just have it for when they figure out in the end who goes to the playoffs. But that was a little bit of a better win. They changed quarterbacks after that. You know, pretty even game overall, but 14-7.
I don't disagree with it.
Tennessee blew out Cleveland in Cleveland. So that should give you a little bit of hope. It is just kind of cool for me, like, as I pay attention to this, that so many people seem to be into it. Like, what is actually going to happen here? The Bills, maybe a lot of Bills fans feel like they don't get any attention, but whether it's because of Cleveland or not, this game is getting a lot of attention, I think.
And you know, circling back to where we started here, the idea of Beckham getting extra targets, if I'm the Bills, I think I'd want to go into this game and say I welcome that. I'm going to put my best guy on you. He's good, and I like my chances of making some plays, especially if you are going to force it there. Like, Beckham is excellent, and Mayfield can be accurate. He's had a weird year that way this year. Like, he's at the bottom of the league in completion percentage. But
under 60?
Like 58 point something. So, but I like Tre'Davious White is good. It's an opportunity for him, and I'm going to trust that he's up for that. Like, I'm gonna mark one of the most famous guys in the league, and you get a lot of credit if you do that and do it well. Come down with a pick or whatever. Like, I you want to force it to that guy. I understand. There's a lot of heat on the team and the quarterback and the coach to make that happen. All right, I got a guy that I think I trust to counteract that.
Yeah, right. If the Bills trust that information, that kind of vibe from the Browns, that it's going to be like, all right, we need to do this for appearances at least. We can't just not throw to Beckham. We traded for him. Like, it's just how this ever happens in the first place is just really weird. But, like, it would be right for Cleveland to think we need to attend to that. And the Bills, like, McDermott might think that that's a great – sort of great timing on his part, lucky timing on his part to be playing them, especially with this player, Tre'Davious White, for this matchup. We will see. Sal Capaccio will weigh in on this and more in about 15 minutes. We are at the convention center, which they have turned into kind of a nightclub here. It's a little bit strange. They've got music and just dim lights and cocktail tables, and it's just us and Nate and, you know, just like security bulldog. It's like they're not going to make us dance or anything, right? Like, this is sort of a strange kind of vibe right now. But that'll change when people start to file in, hopefully.
They're counting on me or us to dance.
They can't be.
I mean, get Sal down here. He'll put on a show for him.
Sal is our resident willing dancer, I think. I think that's right. John Clayton and Evan Abrams from the Action Network later today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Candela, we talked about him, and then he gets hurt. And I wouldn't be surprised if you guys wait until the absolute last minute, because one, other teams know you have to do something, which hurts your leverage a little bit. Number two, you guys are going really well, and the team appears really happy. You don't like to screw around with your chemistry. And number three, who's to say that someone isn't going to get hurt again? So I don't know if it's as much a priority now until the roster absolutely dictates you have to make a move.
Elliot Friedman, don't get me started. Was that from today? Was that Instigators?
Yeah, he's on every Thursday with the Instigators.
You know, if the Sabres had won, if they'd put their 10-game win streak last year toward the end, maybe a lot of stuff would have happened. But because they won, I don't know, that's really a factor. I'm not saying Elliot's wrong. It's like he's probably right that that's a factor in teams thinking. You can't – don't we have, like, good statistics now that can tell you whether your wins were really honest? Like, come on. What should that have to do with it? They've lost. How have they done in their last five games? Have they won any? They won.
Yeah, sure. No, they lost. They've lost three in a row, one in overtime or the shootout. They lost the last two in regulation. Before that,
is Detroit, right, where they got badly outshot and won against maybe one of the worst three teams in the league. And then they lost the Rangers 6-1 or 6-2, something like that. Right? That's their last five. And then Arizona and then Washington and the Islanders.
I guess that's right. Yeah, I've kind of lost track.
Terrible. I mean, I don't know. There's always some reason why this team cannot redo it on defense. Where am I wrong here?
I don't think you are. I think the part of it, look, I don't want to dwell on what Elliot said too much. But the waiting until the roster dictates you have to do something sort of circles back to the original point there where he said, like, it hurts your leverage if everybody knows you got to do something. Like, the time to do something is while somebody is hurt. Like, make a move while, you know, you're not sitting there with three healthy NHL defensemen that you can't put in the lineup because they're being outplayed by 19-year-olds or whatever. I mean, do it now. You know, make a move now. or 2 weeks ago or a month ago, whatever. Like,
or
do,
2 years
do,
ago.
Right, just do, you know, do it. I don't know. I'm still expecting something to happen, but I don't. I'll tell you what, I don't like the way it sounds, because for what it's worth, the focus seems to be Scandella and Bogosian. Pierre LeBrun wrote about Scandella and Bogosian, or talked about them on TSN, or both. And to me, like, I'm not getting any kind of return to write home about on rental guys with big contracts. I mean, that's not where I think I want to be. At least I don't think I am. I could be wrong about that, and maybe they'll do great in a trade like that. But that doesn't seem likely to me. Where you might have value is with someone who is under contract and young and still has a good reputation. And who is that? I don't know. Is that McCabe? Is that Ristolainen? I still think there's a trade to be made that can get me something that'll help my team right now.
I can't take them seriously until that happens. I'm sorry, I just can't. I don't take this season seriously. I don't take the whole thing seriously until that happens. And I agree, trading those other guys doesn't really matter that much. It just sort of pushes the important stuff off to me. I don't know. I'm way past the point of, like, even hoping for this. I need a rescue. Sal Capaccio coming up. This is Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.